Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and him,
Keir Starmer,
the Granny Harmer, who's managed to get himself into more fucking shit this week without even trying, necessarily.
It really is, and we're going to talk about the suspect in the We're going to talk about the suspect in the Southport murders case.
Except we're not really going to talk about the suspect.
We've got to be careful. We're
not going to talk about the suspect, and there's a reason why we can't talk about the suspect. It's because of what's called contempt of court. And I'm not going to try and teach anybody how to suck eggs or anything like that. But as newspaper journalists, we've known about these kinds of rules and regulations for years, right?
Yeah.
Social media has changed everything. So social media has now become a thing that could badly affect the outcome of a trial. And while I totally accept the fact that, you know, in judicial circles, you have to make sure that whoever is standing trial for this crime gets a fair trial and doesn't get somehow the trial fucked up by somebody saying the wrong thing, that doesn't mean we can't talk about the other end of it, which is, what did the government know? When did they know it? And who decided not to let information out into the public domain, which would otherwise be out in the public domain?
Yeah, so serious questions are asked, and we've got to stress, we'll get onto the fun bit in a minute, but Axel Ruda Kubana has not yet been charged with the murders.
I thought he had been.
No, he hasn't been charged with those murders, but he has now been charged with two terror-related offences. One of them is strict terrorist offence, which is against the Terrorism Act, and that is that he is charged of being in possession of a military study of an Al-Qaeda manual.
It's a jihad manual.
Which the charge says could be used to prepare for a terrorist attack. And the other thing he's been accused of, or charged with, is possessing ricin, the poison, or producing ricin, the poison.
Yeah.
So, again, he hasn't pleaded to those charges yet, so we have to be very careful. But what we can talk about is this. At the time of those terrible murders in that South Port Dance Hall, subsequent to that, there were these riots. Mm. All the rioters going around saying that was a Muslim, that was a migrant, and we were told, no, it's absolutely not terror related. There's nothing, no. Well, it now transpires.
Well, they also just kept saying, we can't have speculation about an activity that might not be true. But they weren't even sure enough to say it's not that. But they basically said, this guy's from Wales. We found out subsequently that his parents had come from Rwanda, but that he was not a migrant, that he was not in any way afflicted by anything at all. But they certainly must have had information which would have suggested that wasn't true.
Apparently, it was a search of his house that allegedly revealed these details, that he was producing a poison that's often used in serious attacks and in possession of this Al-Qaeda manual, right? So, the charge is this against the police, the Keir Starmer, everyone. If they knew about this from the word go, back in the summer, I think the attack, the murders were on something like July the 29th. So his house, Axel Rukabana's house, was searched pretty soon afterwards. Now the question is did the Prime Minister, when he was busy going around, so it's far right thugs, these aren't real protests, did he know that there was a terror related aspect to this? Did the police know? If so, why were we being told at the time that this speculation was unjustified and there was not a terror element to it? Because if that is the case, it looks as if we were fucking lied to.
Well, but I mean, there was, I don't think there's any doubt that the police would have certainly...
Yeah, exactly.
The police were operating the investigation. I don't think there's any doubt that the CPS would have known about it.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any doubt that the government, in the guise of either the Home Secretary or Keir Starmer, don't forget, they were having Cobra meetings every sort of couple of hours about these riots. And they were talking about, you know, locking people up and swift justice and all of this, and people being using the internet to publish foul lies and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Locking people up for that very quickly, still going on now. I spoke to Liz Truss today, former Prime Minister, and she said it's inconceivable that the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, did not know about this stuff. Now, that tells you that, okay, let's move on to the next question. Who took a decision then to basically not release the information?
Yeah.
And was that decision taken based upon the fact that they thought if we did release the information that somehow the riots would get worse?
Yeah.
Because that's the other understanding.
And the key question, why, given that these discoveries were clearly made upon the arrest of Axel, 18-year-old guy, by the way, why has it taken 3 months to charge him with the terror-related offence?
Right.
Why has it taken 3 months? And why did they release that information the night before the budget?
Yeah. Well, so, my understanding of that was that they released it because he was about to answer the charges in a court the next day. I don't know whether that's happened. He was meant to answer the charges in a London court by, video hookup today.
But that doesn't explain why it's taken them 3 months to get to this point.
No, it doesn't.
It's not up to him to say, I'll answer those charges when I'm in court. We set the nation...
No, but what I'm saying is that they knew that they would have to come out.
Yeah.
Because that was the...
We're on the same page here. The central charges that potentially Keir Starmer, the Crown Prosecution Service, and the police all knew about these discoveries at Axel's house on day one, back in the end of July.
It might have been a few days before they worked out.
But it was not 3 months.
Was rising, but certainly the jihadi handbook they would have had straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there's so many questions that they have to answer here. They've already started to put out a little narrative, haven't they? Because the BBC reported just this afternoon that the government learned about the charges in recent weeks. That's the phraseology, right? They've said they learned about the charges in recent weeks because they were asked a question as to why it's taken them this long to come out and say anything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what that tells me is they're relating their answer to the charges. That's not the question. The question is, when did they know the information?
Yeah.
Because it might be that they only learned about the charges in the last few weeks, but when did they know the information that was going to lead to the charges?
Yeah, yeah.
And that would be much longer ago, I think.
Yeah, and by the way, we've got to preface all of this with the fact that this guy, Axel, may plead not guilty to all of these charges and potentially may not be guilty of them. So that's the legal situation.
Yeah. And certainly nobody in their right mind wants to prejudice the trial.
Yeah, don't want to prejudice the trial, otherwise he walks, and you don't want that. But if he's not guilty. But here's the other thing.
Another example of two-tier Keir.
Yeah, of course it is, but check this out. So, the police now, finally, or the CPS announced he is being charged with these two terror-related effects. One, the ricin charge is actually not technically necessarily a terrorist offence. But the other offence, possessing the Al-Qaeda manual, is against the Terrorism Act, and that's what the charge is.
But they're still saying, aren't
they? Yeah, no, well, that's my point. The fucking police, right? They're charging this guy for contravening the Terrorism Act, the Anti-Terrorism Act, and then they're making a statement saying, but this doesn't mean the case is terror-related.
Yeah.
Yes, it fucking does.
Right.
End of.
Well, exactly.
So, in other words, the picture that is emerging is we have the Prime Minister, we have the police, we have the Crown Prosecution Service, Prosecution Service, Home Secretary Yvette Cooper, going to the ends of the earth to not make this a case against Muslim extremism.
Yeah, exactly, and about Islamist fundamentalism. Terrorism.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other problem. I don't know if you saw Prime Minister's questions today, but Richard Tice had a question. And he put the question to Keir Starmer, and to paraphrase it, was more or less this: does the Prime Minister agree that somehow this information, which has only just come out, was deliberately you know, hidden from the public, and does he agree that that was a good thing to do, or something? And Starmer, of course, got up on his hind legs. Hates anything to do with reform. I mean, you can see that he viscerally hates the idea. Even has to answer the question, right? Because these people are cruel, evil, nasty, bigoted, racist. And he basically got up and said, "I think we should all support the police in their endeavours, in their very difficult job, to do their job." And of course, there's a few hears from the Labour benches, you know. And I think my honourable friends, including the potential leaders of the Conservative Party, should also support the police rather than undermining them. So he basically made the point that, you know, he was doing something good and everyone else is questioning him doing something bad.
Yeah, well, I think, Starmer, you should answer the fucking question.
Yeah, well, yeah.
He's just avoided the question.
Yes.
You know, and trust me, if it, you know, as you said, Liz Truss, excellent interview that you did on your breakfast show this morning. Really good interview. And she came across very well.
She did.
And she, as a former Prime Minister, you asked her, you know, is it possible that the Prime Minister didn't know about this potential terrorist aspect? She said, inconceivable.
Yeah, it is. Inconceivable. Particularly given the fact that he was being so hard on the rioters, and being so sure that it was all far-right violence that needed to be put away and needed to be stopped. And therefore, you know, it is inconceivable that he wouldn't have taken that decision. And I also said to her, well, would it have been his decision or would it have been the CPS's decision? Mm-hmm. And she wasn't too clear on that, because she said that most of what she had to deal with, because she was only there for a month. Yeah. Most of her stuff was international kind of high security stuff. So she would take advice from MI5 or MI6 or whatever. So maybe he takes advice from the CPS. But it seems to me the CPS is whole below the waterline here. The CPS is not fit for purpose.
The CPS does what the Prime Minister tells it.
Well, I'm not even sure if it's that. I think the CPS was woke long before now.
I mean,
when the Manchester Airport thing happened, you know, we still haven't got a fucking response to that. We still haven't seen what the CPS are going to do. What the fuck are they doing?
And don't forget that in those riots, we always have to preface this by saying we don't condone the activities in the riots of throwing bricks at the cops.
No, of course not.
Trying to set fire to hotels. Or don't condone the riots. But those rioters, we were absolutely emphatically informed, were rioting on false pretenses, because they were rioting about migration and they felt that the suspect was some kind of Muslim extremist or migrant. That's what they thought. Yeah. And we were told, no, they were wrong. The premise of their disquiet was misplaced. They were absolutely misinformed and it was wrong. Well, again, we're not condoning the rioters, but it turns out that the reason for their riot was right.
Well, it certainly turns out that they were more right.
They were right. They were right. They weren't far right. They were right.
Yeah, but, well, that's what they say. But, I mean, there's also a pattern here, because you might remember at the last weekend, Sunday Times, they had a great interview with David Amos's daughter, who is still struggling with the fact that he was knifed to death. And apparently, I didn't actually know this, but the guy who killed him, whose name I'm not even going to mention because he could go fuck himself, basically, it was trained, because he'd read one of these manuals, that they use particular stab points to create the worst injuries, and so that they make sure the person gets killed, because, you know, so they go for all the artery points, basically. They know how to do it. But this guy was on the PREVENT programme, and her question, which was turned down, funnily enough, by coroners this week, was to have a proper inquest into how this guy could have been allowed to get as near as he got to an MP. He was known to the PREVENT people. He had said to somebody in PREVENT that he wanted to give up his university course because he wanted to go and join ISIS in the fucking desert in Syria. But then he worked out, actually, I've got more chance of killing somebody here, so I'll just do it here. And he had this fucking knife that he carried around with him for like a couple of years or something. I mean, absolutely horrendous. That they knew, and we know that these people are out there. You know, you talk to anyone in the security services, they say there's 20,000 jihadis knocking around Britain at any given fucking time. And, you know, it's outrageous that because of political correctness and wokery, we're not allowed to know
there's
stuff.
There's this obsession. There's any time. And by the way, if it does emerge, we have to keep it in the area of speculation at this point. If it emerges that the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, and indeed the fucking Home Secretary, knew all about this terror-related aspect concerning the murder suspect in Southport from day one or day two, and kept it quiet while saying the rioters had no reason to be rioting. Fucking Starmer is in a world of shit. The public will never forgive him for
that.
Right. If that's what he did, it's an absolute disgrace.
There were lots of people out there just last night.
Who the fuck does he think he is?
For him to resign. I mean, but this is the other thing. I mean, again, talking to Stephen Barrett, the lawyer, this morning, saying, now, this is all part of this government's kind of wish to infantilise us and say, oh, don't tell them that, because they won't be able to handle it.
Yeah.
You know, they'll end up throwing bricks through windows and attacking the police, and we won't be able to cope. And it's really, really fucking embarrassingly shit as a policy to not even trust your own people in your own country. They want to keep secrets from us.
Yeah. I mean, and the reason that they would... say, we don't know they did this, but if the reason they would want to keep that secret is because they don't like that narrative.
Mm.
They don't like the narrative that Muslims, Islamic extremists, are responsible for horrors, for atrocities.
Yeah.
They when there are horrors and there are atrocities, like Southport, we don't know the facts about that, but when there are atrocities and horrors and Muslims are responsible, the Labour lot, they hate that. Hate that. Look at the fuck. Look at Manchester Airport.
Well, act usually, or their first instinct is to shut it down, and to say, "Oh, nothing to see here. We don't want to talk about this."
Because it's Muslims,
because
they've got this sort of mania about being nice to Muslims, and you know, there's no reason to be nasty to Muslims.
But they talk
when Muslims are nasty, we should be fucking nasty to them.
Well, it's a bit like saying, you know, we shouldn't be prosecuting any white people for crime because they might have a you know, people commit crime and people commit terrorist acts. Because they're fucking criminals and because they're terrorists. It doesn't really matter what colour they are, but what we shouldn't be doing is pretending that something that is happening is not happening.
Yeah,
you know, when how many times have we seen these police officers coming out and taking the study that they've just done to say, oh, you know, the highest increase in terrorist activity is on the far right. You know,
That is bullshit. Yeah, it's rubbish. Bullshit.
But if they find that they've now arrested three people from the far right instead of one, you know, it's multiplied by three times, and the jihadis have only been multiplied by two.
Mm.
But that's that. But the other thing...
Easily the biggest threat, terrorist-wise, is Islam.
Of course it
is. Muslim extremists. That's the biggest threat.
Of course it is. There's no question about that. But, I mean, the whole business of trying to convince the public that something isn't happening is the craziest kind of political policy I've ever seen.
And there are, you know, not most Muslims, great people and all that, but there are Muslims in this country who have a mission to take this country over.
Yeah.
They want us to be under Sharia law. They want us to obey their ludicrous rules and regulations about blasphemy and shite like that. You know, and their mission is to destroy this country.
Yeah.
They are bad actors within our society. And what do? We just go, oh, you people, never, anything you do is absolutely fine. Don't worry about that, we'll protect you. It makes me think, if we had the fucking war again, you know, against Germany, there'd be loads of people going, oh, no, don't be nasty to the Germans. Oh, no, that's anti-Germanic, and all this kind of shit.
I know.
Is that we now embrace our fucking enemies.
Yes.
Because we're so woke and so fucking stupid. By the way, I mean, Christ almighty, who the fuck did we vote into power in this country?
I know. Well, I mean, that's the other thing. They had their crappy budget this week, which they were making out was the greatest fucking, document ever since, you know, Moses created the fucking Ten Commandments. And, you know, oh, and by the way, isn't it great because we've got a woman delivering it? Who cares? I don't give a fuck whether it's a woman or a fucking giraffe. You know, the fact is, it's still crap because they've basically gone after everyone who's got any kind of money at all. They're going to charge people.
Middle classes,
people with pensions who may not have much of a pension, but they might die and leave it to their wife. Now that, I'm told, may now be subject to 40% tax because they'll see it as capital gains tax on inheritance.
Mm.
An awful lot of people have family units where, you know, perhaps the mother and the father are still living together, the children have grown up, they don't have very much. They've got a house and they've got a pension together.
Yeah.
And if the husband dies, the wife inherits the pension or vice versa. And if they're seriously going to take 40% of that, that is a fucking disgrace.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a £40 billion tax grab, mainly aimed at the middle classes People who've got not they're not rich, they've no. just got a couple of quid.
No, they've managed to be and quite business, prudent and business, in their lives
and
right?
businesses.
Well, they've been prudent in their lives and they've managed to actually save a few quid, yeah. which they might wish to leave to their children yeah, or something. Yeah. And they're going to punish them.
And we got this Labour lot, Reeves, Starmer, and the gang. They're talking about being a budget for working people. What do they mean? You know, they keep getting asked, what do you mean by working yeah. people? They don't give the honest answer. No. What they actually mean is people who work for the public sector.
Exactly.
Civil servants yeah. and people on the government payroll or local councils.
Yeah.
Anyone else in the private sector, they fucking hate. Mm. If you work for the NHS, your quid's in. If you work for the government, if you work for the local council, Rachel and Keir will look after you. If you work for a private business or a heaven forbid, you own your own business, yeah. you are fucked because they hate you, they are socialists, and they adopt the policy of envy.
They do. And, you know, they're going to damage this fucking country. I mean, you know, again, Liz Truss said it today. I fear for the way this is all going to end up, because it's not going to end up in a good place, because business is going to fuck off. I know loads of people, and we hear from people every single day, who are basically leaving the country.
Yeah.
Because if you can, you're going to do it. Because why would you stay? So that you can get taxed up the fucking wazoo. And people go, you know, people like Dale Vince, I don't mind paying more tax. Well, you know what that means? Yeah. That means you're earning too much fucking money. Yeah. Because I mind paying too much tax. I don't want to pay too much tax because the cunt's only wasted.
Did you see that dickhead? He's standing in front of Parliament doing interviews on, post-budget interviews on...
Who, Dale Vince?
Yeah, and he's got his fucking Arafat scarf on. Looks like a
and his
fucking
weird haircut.
Yeah, what a fucking weird grow up.
This is a guy wanker, who, whenever you ask him, right?
The football team's shit as well.
Whenever you ask him, how much money did you give the Labour Party? 5 billion quid. What do they do with it? I don't know.
Pissed you it know, up the wall like they
yeah,
always do.
Exactly. And he's like, you know, and how much money, you know, whenever you ask him questions about money, he's so wealthy that he says he doesn't know the answer to it. But this is the problem, is that these are the friends of the Labour Party who they've cozied up to over the last few years, who have given them loads of fucking money, and who are now probably going to get rewarded in one way or another. Whether it's by a peerage or whether it's by some kind of business contract. You know, we talk about Labour and Tories being the same. The Labour Party will be just as sleazy, if not more sleazy, than the Tories were back in the day when they were giving away fucking PPE contracts.
I think Keir Starmer is a communist or a Trotskyite or something like that. He's a secret, extreme left-wing socialist.
Oh, he is. Peter Hitchens said this, didn't he?
And like all lefties, extreme, he hates this country.
Yeah.
He hates us who live in it. He certainly hates anybody, you know, who's managed to...
He hates our history.
If you own your own house, you bought your own car, you managed to go on holiday once a week or once a year. Well, once a week would be nice. Once a year, and you have a fairly nice, comfortable life. Fucking Starmer hates you and he's after you. I think it's really worrying.
Yeah.
Really worrying.
But he's a massive champagne socialist because he lives in a very expensive house in North London. He doesn't mind being bankrolled by Lord fucking Alley.
Yeah.
He wears all sorts of expensive clothes. He has very expensive taste. Now, he'll probably say, oh, no, it's not really like that. I just happen to live in a house that's worth, you know, 2 million quid because it's in North London. No, this is a guy who has never done anything working class in his life.
Yeah, no.
He just hasn't.
No, but, I mean, these are always... I mean, very few died-in-the-war left-wing communists or Trotskyites are lower, working class.
No.
They're all bloody middle class.
I mean, you get the occasional Mick Lynch type.
But mainly...
And actually, I quite like Mick Lynch for being a communist. Well, he doesn't pretend that he's something
else.
No,
you're right. Exactly right. He doesn't say anything else. But whereas Starmer pretends he's a middle-of-the-road Labour guy who's really, really interested in business. He fucking hates business.
Yeah.
He hates people with anything in the bank or a car or a house. He's a fucking...
Yeah, he shouldn't, though.
And you know, you and I were discussing earlier, you know, I'm thinking about this government, some of these fucking weirdos in the cabinet. Rachel Reeves has just taken down in the Chancellor's office at number 11 Downing Street a portrait of one of her predecessors, Margaret Thatcher's Chancellor, Nigella Lawson's dad,
right.
has just taken down that portrait and replaced it with a portrait of someone called Ellen Wilkinson, who is one of the founder members of the British Communist Party. So the question is, you think about Starmer. Starmer, when he was 23, instead of going off on the piss of the south of France or Spain like like most kids do. He went to Czechoslovakia and checked into a communist work camp.
That's not normal.
Who the fuck are these people? They're not traditional Labour politicians. There's something weird about these. These people are pretending. Uh-huh. In fact, they're fucking dangerous communists who hate Britain.
They are, and they're ideologically unsound, as we used to say, because what all they will do is pass rules and pass laws and fuck people up based upon their what they believe to be their fucking...
Their ideology.
Their ideology, because the reason everybody knows they went after the pensioners is because, one, they think pensioners don't really vote for Labour, and two, they're all going to be dead soon, so they don't really care.
Don't vote Labour, so they don't care.
Because they're too sensible, because they've seen what Labour have done in the past, right? But every single time, I mean, she said in her speech today, you know, this is not the first time we've had to rescue Britain from, you know,
Jesus.
The Tories, right? We had to rescue them in 1945, and then in 1964, and then in 1997. Yeah, we didn't do the other side of that coin, which is that when Labour had been in for a while, there's never any fucking money left.
They
burned through all of it, right?
Yeah, by the way, folks, there is no £22.5 billion black hole in the public finances. They've just made this up.
Yeah,
totally.
Of course.
About 3-4 weeks ago, the Financial Times put in a Freedom of Information request asking the Treasury, the Department of the Treasury, to break down where this
$22 billion
They said that they can't do this because they haven't actually verified the figure.
Exactly.
In other words, they literally, officially do not know whether or not there's a black hole.
If it's true, yeah, exactly. And, I mean, she said again today, because I was listening in the car on the way in, that they're going to give a line-by-line description of this black hole, so I look forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
Everything they say they're going to do, they don't do. Everything they promise doesn't work out. Everything they say they're definitely not doing, they're doing.
Well, if they could delineate what this £22.5 billion black hole is, they would have done it by
now. Of course.
Because so many people say we don't believe you. So the obvious way to counteract that is to say, well, here's the list.
Yeah.
Well, they can't do it because it doesn't fucking exist. And by the way, even if it doesn't exist, how about you don't spend £22 billion on a stupid carbon catching scheme? How about
How about you don't send
£11.6 billion abroad for foreign green schemes? I mean, fuck off.
Right. And even Dale Vince, we were just talking about, doesn't think the carbon capture thing is a good idea.
It doesn't work, yeah. And the Greenpeace say it's shite
as well. It's a waste of time.
Well, that's that idiot Miliband.
Yeah, what a plank.
Yeah.
But don't worry, because he'll be going off. He's just been in New York for a another fucking summit on the climate. Pretty soon he's going to go off to Azerbaijan, because that's what they're having, COP29. Right,
COP29.
Where the only thing they'll discover and the only thing they'll make a ruling on is where they're going to have fucking COP30, which will be happening, no doubt. I think it's happening in Brazil the following year. But we shouldn't stop today without an honourable mention to the honourable member for Runcorn,
Mike Amesbury,
the man who likes to get into a bit of a punch up at the taxi queue. I mean, we've all done it, I dare say, at some point or other in our lives. Normally, not when you're a fucking MP, though. Representing the constituents that you're battering.
I'll tell you, I watched that video of how that started, that punch up. And sometimes, you know, there's a key point in your life, and your entire life will swivel on that hinge point.
Right.
Now, he's fucking staring at this guy. His name's Paul Fellows.
Yeah.
And obviously, that was the moment, and then Mike Amesbury just fucking clocks him.
Yeah.
And that was the moment that Mike Amesbury's life disintegrated.
Yeah.
He won't be an MP for very much longer. But what I mean, you shouldn't.
It doesn't make any sense.
You shouldn't laugh about it, but I can't help.
No, you can laugh.
I can't help laughing because this was a dispute about the axing of the winter fuel allowance.
I mean, can you imagine? This is now the new, as somebody said, this is now the new Labour surgery.
Yeah.
You know, outside the cab break at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, yeah. If you fucking ask me one more question about the winter fuel allowance, I'll fucking batter you.
Yeah. You know. You want me to justify the fucking winter fuel allowance? Take that, you cunt.
Yeah, exactly. Unbelievable.
But then he went down, he fucking carried
on,
didn't he?
Carried on, yeah. I mean, he looks quite handy, actually. He looks like he knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. But he's not
the first time he's hit someone.
Is that right?
He's
got form.
He looks like he knows how to hit someone. Because he knocks the guy right down.
Yeah, he's a punchy northerner, I would say.
Yeah.
But he, that we should stress, he's only been spoken to by the police He's been interviewed.
He's only done that, but that's only happened because he went into the police station.
Yeah, he's interviewed under caution and has not yet been charged, so we should point that out. But his political career is over.
But again, Starmer could have actually kicked him out of the party. Hasn't done. He's suspended him and pending police inquiries. Well, I don't think you need to wait for the police inquiry to work out that he's not a suitable member of fucking parliament. Just fucking kick him out of the party.
Exactly right.
And the parliament should also do the same. Kick him out of the parliamentary estate, and then they force a by-election.
But instead they'll come out with that usual shit about it's only right we should wait for the police.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
To take it.
But that's what they're saying. And they say that about everything. They say that about Manchester. They're saying that about Southport. They're saying the same thing over and over and over again. And we're not fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You can't just hide behind. Oh, there's police action. It's what they used to do in Scotland. Do you remember when people would ask the politicians in the SNP about what's going on with the fucking motorhome or what's going on with
the police investigation?
And they go, "Oh, well, we can't really comment."
Well, you could actually comment. You could.
Because, you know, you fucking know stuff that we need to know.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody said to me today, they've all forgotten that they're all public servants. They sort of think that we work for them.
But that's why.
They don't think that we have any rights to know anything about what they do. They have no obligation to tell us what they're planning to do. They just fucking do it.
Yeah, and by the way, that's public inquiries. Public inquiries. They say are for transparency so the public can find out about issues and scandals, etc. They're not. What they're for is, if, for example, you've got Tony Blair and he's getting it in the bollocks about Iraq and the weapons of mass destruction file.
Yeah, that was a good one.
He's getting it in, catching shit on it day in, day out. Call a public inquiry. From then on, his answer, every other Labour politician's answer is, it's only right that we don't preclude the results of the public inquiry. Yeah. And in terms of the Chilton inquiry into Iraq, that inquiry took 13 fucking years. They're in public inquiries.
And then the result was what? Because it wasn't particularly important.
The result was he was kind of guilty.
Yeah.
But nobody cared by
that. Guilty of what?
Make no mistake. Well, sexing up the file, acting like there were weapons of mass destruction when there weren't, and so on and so forth. By then, and nobody cared. So make no mistake, public inquiries are for politicians to be able to kick the can down the road. Yeah. Simple as that.
Absolutely right. We should finish up with the American election because this
will be
last podcast before they've got a new president.
Well, we do think Trump.
Although I'm beginning to also think that there will be so many rancorous things going on that it might drag on. Like, do you remember the Al Gore fucking George Bush?
Yeah,
Florida hanging Chad scandal, where they were literally a week or two later before somebody was declared president.
Yeah.
So I think something like that might happen as well.
Oh, there's every chance of
that. Because everybody's going to challenge. Trump will challenge if he thinks he's lost. She will challenge if she thinks she's lost. You know
what I mean? Yeah. So this is, check this out, right? So until about three weeks ago, maybe as close as 2 weeks. All the liberal press, the left-wing press over here, things like Sky News and
who all think they understand and the BBC,
and over in America, CNN, MSNBC, all the lefties. So what they're saying is, Kamala Harris is comfortably ahead in all of the polls. It looks like she's right. So what's happened in the subsequent 2.5-3 weeks is Kamala Harris is no longer comfortably ahead in the polls. In fact, Donald Trump has gone ahead of her. Donald Trump, there's not much in it, but he is ahead in the swing states. And
he's also ahead in the popular vote.
In other words, it's reversed. Yeah. So Donald Trump is now ahead. So what are all these people saying? So Kamala Harris is ahead 2 weeks later. She's no longer. It's deadlock. It's very close. It's too close to call. Yeah. It's not that. Trump is ahead.
Yeah.
But they can't say, or they won't say it, because they're liars.
Yes. They can't bring themselves to in any way endorse the possibility that Donald Trump will win.
Yeah.
Because to them, he's the Antichrist.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't get the fact that people don't care about that. Yeah. People who like Donald Trump, I mean, he's been very funny ever since he did that charity dinner. Well, he went to McDonald's before that, the charity dinner.
Would you like lies with that?
Which was really funny, where he went to Chuck Schumer, who was sitting next to him, put his hand on his shoulder and said, "Don't worry, you know, if Kamala doesn't win, you've still got a chance of being the first female president." And Chuck Schumer laughed. And similarly, when he did his big Madison Square Garden thing, and they tried to make out that it was like him reenacting a Nazi fucking rally from the 30s, right? What they forgot to look to check was to see whether Bill Clinton had done a big rally there, which he had, and forgot to check whether various other Democrat presidents had also had rallies there, and of course they have. Yeah. You know, it's absolutely, it doesn't make any sense to me.
So you've got
now they go around calling him like Adolf Hitler.
And Sky News, they go around, you know, interviewing all the, is he a Nazi? Is he a, yes, he's a Nazi. Yeah. Is he a fascist? Yes, he's a fascist.
Right.
Yeah, is he a Nazi?
From Joe Schmo in Pennsylvania.
Has he ever set up any concentration camps? Ever sort of gassed people to death?
No.
That's fucking nonsense.
It's ludicrous.
It's nonsense. And a lot of experts, Frank Luntz, the chief soothsayer of American politics, yeah, a man who's called every election right for about the past 30 years, he says Kamala Harris was winning it to the moment she started accusing Donald Trump of being a Nazi. Ever since then, it's been downhill all the way. It's a desperate tactic, and it's not going to work.
And it's not working.
So all the experts, people like Frank Luntz, now saying Trump's going to do it. The betting firms all have him odds on. Let's take that very seriously. And probably most important of all over the world, the money markets are shorting on a Trump victory.
Yeah.
The money markets, the betting companies, and all the political experts believe Trump is going to do it. And when he does do it, I think he will do it. The Democrats should look upon themselves and think, we should have done what Barack Obama told us.
Yeah.
Not in a month of Sundays put this fucking empty vessel, cackling moron, Kamala, up as our candidate. She's fucking hopeless.
If you remember when she got the nomination, the Obamas were very slow, weren't they?
He never wanted in actually endorsing
her. It took about 3 days for them to be persuaded to do it.
Well, privately, apparently, he said, don't. I think Obama was wrong on this, but he said we'd be better off keeping Joe.
Yeah.
Because at least we can now have an incumbent president.
Yeah.
A man who's run the country.
Can you imagine what state he's going to be in a year, though?
Yeah. Oh, by the way,
I mean, you won't be able to fucking turn around.
So do you remember the 2016 election when Hillary snatched defeat from the jaws of victory by calling Trump supporters deplorables?
That's right.
Well, now old Joe Biden, a couple of nights ago, is giving a fucking speech. He's called Trump supporters garbage. Oh, no. And the Democrats are horrified by this. Everything, direction of travel, looks like Donald to me.
It does. Well, we'll see. We'll talk to you this time next week. And by then, we might know.
Yeah. Well, and if we're wrong, we'll have to admit we're a couple of cunts.
Yeah, we will. But I think we will be.
No.
We shall see. Right. Anyway, this is the Thought Police.
Go, Donald. You lot can fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. Bollocks.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry in to the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.